You think this is relevant for us? The call of Joshua to lead the children of Israel? The words, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. We're going to look into that this morning as to why we need to be strong and courageous. But we've been going through the heroes of the faith in our series here. Lessons we can learn from their lives to apply to ours in the generation in which we live. And last week we looked at Moses. This week we look at his successor, Joshua. And Joshua is come to the reins of leadership. And I want to read the last part of Deuteronomy that kind of talks about Moses and this leadership transfer that was going on. It says in Deuteronomy 31, then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy those nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do all to them that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. There it is again. Because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous. For you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Those are all words we're going to look at today, because those are some big-time words that we're facing right now in America. But first of all, why Joshua? Why did Joshua get picked here? We see that him and Caleb, we go back into Numbers, we start to read, they were two of the leaders of the tribes of Israel, Joshua for Ephraim and Caleb for Judah. Remember the 12 spies that were sent into the land? They were told to go into the land and basically explore the land to see what it was like. And as they all came back, it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a great land, a land that God was going to give them. And as they went there, though, the people of that land were giants to the Israelites that were exploring that land. And they were like, felt like they were grasshoppers, is the term they used. Compared to these giant people that were living in the land, the enemy that they were facing. Now, I am summarizing a lot of history, and Leslie knows how many notes I'm going over here out of Numbers. But what is so amazing is that God had promised them all these things, that they were to go in and take possession. Joshua was to lead them and all that. This was way back before Moses and everything, all the things that took place there. But this was before they had to wander in the desert for 40 years. So Joshua and Caleb were among those that went in. And of course, the 10 other ones, which you don't hear anything about, they are named, but I'm not going to read their names today. But they came back and said, nope, we can't do it. They're too large, they're too big, they're too difficult. It's not... We're just not cut out for this. And they spread a bad report, and Joshua and Caleb pled with them, oh, come on, yes, yes, the enemy is big, but we have God with us, and we need to not lose sight of that. And then it says the other 10 convinced the rest. This was a bad annual business meeting. We had a good one yesterday. It was very good, and thank God we had a good consensus, and things are moving forward. But this was a bad one, because that night they wept and wailed, oh, why did God bring us out of Egypt to just kill us in the desert? Oh, all the miracles they'd seen, every time a new hard, difficult situation came up, they grumbled and complained. Point number one today, guard your heart against becoming a grumbler and a complainer. And right now, for me, it's pretty easy to grumble and complain about this COVID garbage. I just don't like it. I'm sick of having to wear masks in places, and thankfully we have freedom and liberty yet. But there's just so many things we have to be careful though to not to get a grumbling and a complaining spirit. Amen. Amen. Because it'll drag us down, but they grumbled and complained. And in fact, God actually wanted to strike them. And Moses then pleaded, I just love this in scripture. Moses pleaded with God, then what will the Egyptians think? Here, you bring them out, you do all these things, and then you can't lead us into the promised land? It's like, no, don't do that. Because Moses was told that, well, he would bring the children of Israel through Moses then, instead of through all these other ones. And it's like, no, Moses. And isn't it neat how God listened to Moses? And we sometimes think, can our prayers have impact with God? Yeah. Now, do I think that was in God's divine, perfect will? Yeah. I think he wanted Moses to be that way, that it wasn't about Moses, because Moses, early in his life, thought, hey, he was a pretty good guy. He was going to take charge here, and he killed the Egyptian, and then he learned in the 40 years of the backside of the desert that we looked at last week that, nah, apart from God, we are nothing. And that's what Moses was recognizing here, is I need the Lord, God is with me, and I need help here in bringing these people into this land. And sad to say, though, that generation, all those 20 years and older at that point, wandered for 40 years in the desert. In fact, the leaders, the other 10 leaders, were actually struck by a plague. They died from something. And so for 40 years, they wandered in the desert and did not come into land. So this is what brought the children of Israel to this point where Joshua was going to lead them. And what is really interesting here is that it says in Numbers, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, that we can certainly do it. And then it refers to him having a different spirit. In fact, both him and Joshua had that different spirit. That is another point for us to consider today. Instead of being grumblers and complainers, let's have a different spirit. Let's have a spirit that says, yes, we can do what God has called us to do. Yes, we can represent him no matter what our age is. Now, Moses was 120 when he finally passed away, and we know that he was 80 when he first began to be used by God. So I know we've got people between 80 and 120 here this morning. And everyone needs to realize that you are a part of this. Don't think I'm too old to make a difference. No, none of us are too old. None of us are too young. None of us are too screwed up and messed up from the world around us. God wants to use each and every one of us to represent him. And so we need to have that different spirit. So as we see this, God chose Joshua because he was Moses' assistant all along. It wasn't because Caleb wasn't up to the task, but it was only one person that was going to lead, and it was Joshua. And guess what? Caleb wasn't upset over that either. They worked at this together. They entered the land. And the whole book of Joshua goes into their exploits. And I'm not going to do that this morning, or you'd really be upset with me. But it is the book of Joshua. You read it. And one of the things I want to say here, as we look at these promises, you think, man, it must have been easy. God was with them and everything must have went like hunky-dory. Guess what? Was there battles? Battle after battle after battle. Sometimes, and that's why we get into these Joshua's call, the example of Joshua's call, and moving forward, we need to recognize that just as Joshua was called, we are called. God is with us. And that we need to take to heart. No one will be able to stand up against you. all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, does that sound similar to something what Jesus said? That when he went up into heaven and he gave the command to the church that I am with you always to the very end of the age. Wow. It is. It's the same God speaking to Joshua that's speaking to us today. That we take this to heart. Did these battles seem impossible? Did these enemies seem too hard to beat? Yeah, did they? Big time. Did people stand in the way of these commands that were given to Joshua? Yeah, they stood in the way. And so, as we see opposition, I can honestly say in my life, coming to Hayward, the path that God took me to bring me to Spider Lake was not a path I'd have picked. No, not at all. Not at all. I had a lot of junk happen. In fact, left the ministry for 10 years because I was like, all right, that's the way people are. I guess I'll just, and I worked with Pastor Mark over at the Wesleyan for 10 years. Just a part, not a pastor, although I did weddings and funerals and taught Sunday school and did all the stuff like that that involved, actually was on the church board over there. Saw church from a whole different perspective, from the parishioner perspective. And it was a good experience. And so God used that. That was my backside of the desert experience. And sometimes we get into these spots where it's like, seems like we're down a track we didn't want to go down. And I did not want to go down that track, but that's where I felt I needed to be. And then God began to work in our hearts, not just mine, because my wife wanted to leave Hayward. She didn't want to come back. And I felt like God had called us to Hayward. I know it didn't make sense, all these things. And so we stayed in Hayward, persevered. I sold cars for 14 years. And all these situations. What we need to do is personalize these scriptures and realize that whatever events you are facing in your life, know that there are going to be battles. It's not easy. People will come against you. People might not like you. I got an email this last week from someone, and I've got a file this thick on emails from this individual. And it's just like, I just don't understand what he's getting at most of the time in his email. But I've kept these just because I want people to know when something happens, this guy is out there. And it's just interesting. It is just interesting. But is God with me? Yes. Is he is with you? Yes, he's with all of us. And as the angel said to Mary, for with God nothing is impossible. We need to have that in our hearts. God brought us together here at Spider Lake Church. He's working. He's done amazing things in our midst. And he has continued to doing it. Even as we have struggles, as we're dealing with all this COVID and all these situations that we're thrown in. But I love the passage out of Romans that Paul writes about Abraham. He says, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. So, America, it's not looking good for America, the road we're on. And we need to be praying like we've never prayed before for our country. It is serious stuff. And I've been reading lots of stuff about history, and I'm not going to share all the things that this morning, but there's a lot of things going on that are just not good, that generally spell the doom for an empire at the end of its time. And we're seeing these things surfacing in America, and it's not good. So how do we make it through these kinds of things? God is with us, is the bottom line. And God did not tell us that we were going to be ahead in the fourth quarter. He just told us we're going to win the game. The kingdom of this world is going to become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And I think of our Christmas cantata. And I just love that singing, that hallelujah chorus. Because that's the joy that's set before us and what we're called to do in this life is to recognize God's in charge of history. Has he warned us about the events? Yes. I've had lots of people who don't go to church, come up to me. Isn't some of this stuff in the book of Revelation? It's like, yeah, it is. It is. Is this stuff happening around? It's like, yeah. And I had one guy over at a gravesite here said, man, we need God again. It's like, yes, we do. I was like, I was going to have a regular revival service over there. But it is. And these are people who are not going to church, but it's like you can see God is starting to work. And that's what we need to pray, is that people's eyes are open to what's going on. And that's where the words, be strong and courageous, comes in. To be courageous means that it doesn't matter how ferocious the enemy is, that you and I are fully focused on the fact that we will defeat them, and that we are preoccupied with that thought and nothing else. And again, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's against the powers and principalities of hell. I pray for people. I pray for people who stand directly opposed to me. I pray for people who don't like me. I pray for people who may do mean, nasty things. That's my calling. Is that easy to do? No, because I'd like to punch people sometimes. No, but we do. We're called to have courage in this battle, that God is with us and that we face this. And these godly attributes that we're called to. I love this passage out of Daniel that really sets things in place. It says, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and Daniel was seeing this vision of things that were just shocking to him. He couldn't even understand it. But he was seeing kingdoms rise and fall, and a political leader rising that was going to be the most deceptive individual in all of human history, and saying unheard of things against God. And I tell you, we're living close into those days right now. But he says, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power over all peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Boy. And that is what we have got to have in our hearts. Who do we represent? Yes, Jesus warned us about the days that we're living in, the days that are starting to come upon us. And so we should not be afraid. We should not be worried. Are those things seeming to take over us? Yeah, they are. I see a lot of Christians right now totally afraid. Totally worried. And we need to have the Spirit of God come in and remove that. And this is where we see the, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Do you know how many times in Scripture, I'm going to first look at the fear part of it, 365 times in Scripture is the words, do not fear, applied. There's one for every day. We are told not. Why? Because it's very easy to fear. In fact, there's a popular song out right now called Fear is a Liar. And it is a liar. Fear keeps us from doing what God calls us to do. What might happen to us? Well, we might die. We might get hurt. Satan uses fear to decrease hope and limit our service. He wants to have us hiding in a corner. No. The church Jesus is coming back for is a church that's going to be out on the front lines. It's going to be out within a yard of hell, as old C.T. Studd said. He said, some want to live within the sound of a chapel bell. He says, I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. That's what the church needs to be. Amen. We need to be invigorated. It's exciting to see church people at the food shelf, reaching out, loving people. That is an action of warfare in the spiritual, because we're showing people we care about them. We love them, to meet physical needs. And to see it on a Monday night, to see all the church people there fellowshipping with people who don't necessarily go to church and who are very lonely and very not having good days and very worried and fearful of what's coming on the world. And you can talk with them and see the difference that it makes to be a servant of Jesus, representing the God who created everybody. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Amen. So don't let fear stop you. And second, discouragement, a loss of confidence or enthusiasm or dispiritedness. I hope this morning you can see I haven't lost any enthusiasm and I'm not dispirited. And but the challenge is, it does wear. I mean, my wife sees me at home. My wife knows what it's like. The days I get discouraged and bothered when nothing seems to go right. Seems like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. That's another encouragement throughout Scripture. You see, Paul said to the Galatians, let us not become weary in doing good. Why does he say that? Because that is our tendency. We get discouraged in doing good, and we don't see results like we'd always like, and so he's like, oh, I'm just going to quit doing it. It's like, that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do, is to quit. He says, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's it this morning. Don't give up. I know you're going to get discouraged. I get discouraged. That's why we're called to come to church, to encourage each other. Don't come here and get on each other's cases about things. Encourage each other. Stand beside. Work together with. Paul has got all these lists of battles that he went through, things that he faced, and yet he recognized that it was the ministry God called him to, and that's what we need to recognize. All the challenges that we face, the troubles, the hardships, the distresses, in great endurance, Paul said, the same thing that Joshua faced all the days of his life. And this brings us to the last point here, the importance of the word of God and obeying it. You look at what Joshua was commanded here. He says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We are to wholeheartedly live out the word of truth we are given in our Bibles. We do not worship the Bible, but we read it, we study it, we meditate on it, we put it into practice. And as we do, Scripture says that God does go before us. And if we do not do these things, if we do not do what I'm talking about, if you just think, well, I'm just going to go to church once in a while, and I guarantee you the days that are coming, we're not going to make it. We will get swept up in all the stuff that's going on, and we'll think, what's the use? But you keep doing this, and you will have the Spirit of God speaking to you, and he will bring the truths of his word. And Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And then the writer of Hebrews says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. It's like, wow, is there a power in God's word? Yeah, and I'm glad it convicts me when I need to be convicted, and it encourages me when I need to be encouraged. The psalmist said, blessed are they who keep your statutes and seek him with all their heart? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with my whole heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in the heavens. We see the importance of God's word, and so I do. I encourage you. I tell you, pray, meditate, study, get involved in God's word, and let it be a foundation underneath you. I cannot tell you how much in ministry where I'm sitting there and all of a sudden God reminds me of a passage of scripture. Now, if I hadn't read that passage, if I hadn't, you know, spent some time, it's like reading, studying, meditating, it's like all of a sudden the preciousness of that truth comes in that, yes, God is with me. On a day when you get the message that your daughter was killed in an accident, or an accident, not it was a health issue, but all these things that happen in life where it just rips your heart out. God is with us in those times, and it's the word of truth that comes as a solid foundation for us to stand on. So Joshua sets an amazing example. Again, I didn't go through all the battles that Joshua had to fight. We know he fought the Battle of Jericho, and he won. And but all the different, I encourage you to read the book of Joshua. But the important thing of Joshua this morning is, first of all, to look at his call. To recognize that the call that Joshua was given is a call that we've been given to represent the creator of the heavens and the earth. The God who loves us, who calls us by name, we are his. And Joshua recognized that. And Joshua had a different spirit. He did not have the spirit of the world and of a lot of other people who profess to be people of God. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. There's a lot of people today that have a form of godliness, but they truly deny the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit at work in people's hearts that transforms our lives. And that is it. It's not just some form and ritual we're going through. It is a living daily walk with Jesus. And in the Old Testament, they didn't know it was Jesus yet, but it was. As we see in Paul interprets in the New Testament, that rock that was with them was Christ. We see that he was with them in the Old Testament, and he's with us today. And we're called to be strong and courageous, to not shrink back from the things that are happening in this world, but to be there, to stand up, as we sung this morning, stand up for Jesus. And it is, and standing on the promises, we didn't sing stand up for Jesus this morning, standing on the promises, and stand up for Jesus. I think I'd like to sing that. I think that's in our hymnal. I'd like to sing that on the way out this morning. And then to not fear and be discouraged. Boy, I tell you, don't let all those negative emotions sweep over us. And as we do, obey the eternal word of God, we will stay in close contact with God, and he will use us powerfully. And then this is what Joshua said in the end part of his life as he completed his task. And he tells the children of Israel, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers that served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. May that be our testimony today, that we're going to serve the Lord with our whole heart. And know God is going to use you. Amen. Amen. Amen.